This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
We're looking at how will the joint forces of two parties change the political landscape in Cape Town, and what will it mean for the voters? Well, the landscape in Cape Town could be heading into a new phase following the decision by the Good Party and Rise Mzansi to join forces ahead of the local government elections. Now, the partnership is aimed at challenging the DA's long-standing control of the city. It's, of course, sparked debate about coalition politics, opposition cooperation, and what this alliance could mean for voters seeking alternative leadership. Just some background to our discussion coming up. The move is raising important questions about whether collaborative politics can reshape electoral outcomes in one of South Africa's most politically significant metros. And it's also placing supporters of both parties at the center of a conversation about shared values, also policy priorities, and the future direction of governance in Cape Town. Right, to help us explore the implications of this development, we are joined by Brett Herron, from Rise Mzansi, and Good Party mayoral candidate for Cape Town. Brett, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you.
Great to have you on board. Okay, so for listeners who may not closely follow local politics, why do you think the decision by Rise Mzansi and the Good Party to join forces has generated such widespread interest? What makes this partnership politically significant?
I think it makes it politically significant on a number of fronts. First of all, just the basic concept that voters, supporters of Good or Rise, who share similar values. I mean, we share almost unique values, the same political ideology, a similar vision for our towns and cities, would not have to choose between the two parties and split their vote or split our votes, but are able to have expression of their political views, their vision as a voter for the future of their city or town, can be encapsulated by voting for one party and strengthening that party. So the combination in just pure numbers allows us to join forces and strengthen the party that's on the ballot paper. I think why it's generated so much interest is because it involves a little bit of giving up. Like, for Rise Mzansi's members, supporters, and candidates to be integrated into the Good campaign behind me as the mayoral candidate, requires them to give up being on the ballot paper as Rise Mzansi and Rise Mzansi candidates, which is unusual in South African politics for egos to be set aside and for those bold decisions to be made. And it's similar in Gauteng, where Rise will lead the campaign and Good members and Good councillors who currently represent us in Tshwane and Johannesburg, and our candidates and our supporters will have to do the same. Sure. They will be contesting Gauteng under the Rise banner.
What do you see as the biggest failures or gaps in DA governance in Cape Town?
I think the biggest failures comes down to a simple phrase about it really applies in Cape Town, that where you live matters. Mm-hmm. We have communities who are still living in the apartheid-like living conditions, despite apartheid ending 32 years ago. Those communities that were created under the Group Areas Act and forced people of color to move there from well-located areas like Sea Point and Claremont and Newlands and Kirstenbosch, they're now living in communities that were never fully developed in terms of built infrastructure, where the infrastructure is not sufficient to meet the overcrowded living conditions. And with that comes the socioeconomic conditions that one associates with living in a ghetto. So the high violent crime rate, the poor education outcomes, the very high unemployment rate, the substance abuse problems are all linked to severe underinvestment and underdevelopment in communities. And the DA's governance has not fixed that, despite them being in government for 20 years.
Where do you see immediate attention, action needed, what you've just outlined? Where would you like to start in particular?
Well, there's two things to start with. The first area, I mean, obviously 2 million people who live on the Cape Flats are not going to be moving. We can't move 2 million people.
Sure.
And many of them don't want to move. They've built up community networks and they've got homes and stuff. So we need to tackle this on two fronts. We need to invest in upgrading those communities so that they look and feel like the suburbs that I live in, where if my children go to a park, they don't fall on concrete slabs and injure themselves. You don't have play equipment falling off its axles and actually causing the death of a child. The roads are well kept. So we need to invest in those communities and upgrade the built environment. And then we need to use public land in better located areas and build amenities and build public housing on that better located land so that multi-generational families who are sharing homes because their children and their grandchildren cannot afford to rent or buy a property anywhere in Cape Town because of the high prices, have access to affordable rental accommodation in well-located areas. We need to use the public land, and the city must develop that land.
How do you see this alliance avoiding instability and fragmentation often seen in coalition politics?
Well, I mean, let me make it obvious. The goal is for us to converge by 2029. Mm-hmm. So we are working toward, we are contesting 2026 as two different brands, and have carved up South Africa's municipalities based on which party's got a stronger presence in those municipalities. So 2026, we have to compete as two separate parties, but 2029, we expect to contest the national and provincial elections as one party. And how I think we'll avoid the conflict that often arises in coalition politics or in pre-election pacts, like this could be called, is that in Cape Town, Rise Mzansi will not be on the ballot. So they will not have a councillor after November 2026 in Cape Town. All of the councillors will be good councillors. And in Johannesburg, good will not have we will not be on the ballot. And all of our good members will be Rise Mzansi councillors in Johannesburg. And so we are actually developing a new organizational culture where we ultimately are going to be one party.
Brett, two questions coming in. Let me start with the first one. It reads, and both are from anonymous listeners. The first one reads, how realistic is it for smaller parties to unseat the DA in a city it has dominated for years?
I think it is really realistic that the DA could fall below 50%. Their voter share has dropped from 66.6%, almost more than two-thirds in 2016. 2019 and 2021 and 2024, the vote has been coming down to, it's currently 54%, 55%. What has happened is that it's not necessarily, a case of us trying to persuade voters to come to where we are in talking about a housing crisis, an affordability crisis, a safety crisis, and a government that is increasingly undemocratic and not meeting the transparency test you would expect from a liberal government. So the people and the mood in Cape Town has shifted to the point where they are aligned with exactly what we are talking about, that there is a housing crisis and it affects everybody unless you are super wealthy. There is an affordability crisis which affects everybody unless you're super wealthy. There's a safety crisis which is now spilling beyond the Cape Flats to where people are being shot in Adderley Street. And people are really fed up that decisions are being made about developments in their community, land being sold, municipal assets being sold, and they are not properly consulted. So there is the issues that we are campaigning on and have been championing for years. People have shifted, I think, in their mood and in their assessment of the Democratic Alliance government to where they are aligned with us. So I think there is a real prospect, and this is not just my speculation, it's other political analysts projecting, that the Democratic Alliance is at a real risk of falling below 50%, and we will be governed by a coalition government in 2026.
Brett, the next question reads, is this partnership a long-term political realignment or an election-specific strategy?
It is part of political realignment. Both the Democratic, Ryazan Zanzi and Good, first of all, identify ideologically as social democrats. And we are reaching out to other civic organizations, non-government organizations and political parties who identify as social democrats. And we hope that by 2029, it is a realignment of the social democrats. But we don't want to be stuck in an ideological framing, because South Africans, and not only South Africans, people in general do not interested in the political labels.
Sure.
But I mean, we have to come together around a common set of values and policy beliefs and visions for our country, our provinces and our towns and cities. So the starting point has been politically aligned ideologically, and so we think it is a political realignment in a space where South Africans are increasingly becoming despondent by the offers of the so-called big parties, or maybe we would call them the more established parties.
As we look at the election campaigns across the country gaining momentum, I'd like to factor in the youth vote, because there has been concern about youth involvement regarding voting processes, if I can put it that way. What do you believe this alliance needs to then demonstrate to earn the trust and confidence of Cape Town residents?
This alliance needs to be led by young people, and the campaign team that's leading my campaign is very, very young, and you can see it coming through in some of the branding that we've been using. And we need so there's youth leadership of the campaign, but we need to go and meet with young people and listen to them and incorporate their vision for the future of Cape Town, the future of Johannesburg, the future of South Africa. We need to incorporate it into our plans for the city. There is an alienation problem, and it is because the young people do not see themselves in the solutions being offered by political parties. And if you were to ask anyone in Cape Town right now what the current vision is for the future of the city, no one is able to articulate it, because it's never been shared, and it's never been there's never been that engagement with people as to what kind of vision they have for their future in the city.
Interesting campaigning that we are going to be witnessing, I should suggest, in 2026. Brett, it's been a pleasure having you on board, and thank you so much for joining us. Everything of the best in all your combined party endeavors. Brett Heron, Ryazan Zanzi and Good Party mayoral candidate for Cape Town. And the decision by Ryazan Zanzi and the Good Party to join forces, well, it's raising broader questions about coalition politics, also voter expectations, democratic accountability and the evolving nature of political competition in South Africa. Brett Heron helped us to explore how this new political alliance could reshape Cape Town's political landscape and what it may mean for supporters seeking an alternative vision for the city's future. I'd love listeners from Cape Town to come in on this conversation regarding this alliance formed by Ryazan Zanzi and the Good Party and the mayoral candidates for Cape Town, Brett Heron. How do you see this alliance working out? Are they on the right path? Do you think they stand a chance against the DA? Let's just break it down into layman's terms.